either late last morning. Anybody? If your Facebook looks anything like mine does right now, you're going to see a lot of pictures of high school kids. Yep. All right? Because last night was homecoming here in Clark County. And I tell you what, y'all, with two teenagers and two high schoolers, it's a whole different ballgame than when I was in school. Homecoming has become this huge thing, this huge festivity, and Rachel and I had to divide and conquer last night because Carlin was with a group of her friends, Zeke was with a group of his friends, and they want you to go and take pictures. Thus, you see our Facebook accounts blown up by pictures of our kids and their friends. But as I was thinking about this, I was going through, and in the midst of running kids here and there, I was preparing, finishing up the message that we're in the series that we're going through on identity. And I began to think that even at an age of our kids and even younger, that identity to me is one of the most significant things. How we respond to our kids, how people respond to our kids, the things that are said about us, the things that we label with kind of shape who we are. They give us what we think about ourselves. And as I was thinking through this whole homecoming thing, it's all about if you've got the right dress and if you get just the right picture and it's in just the right lighting. You know, I had to laugh because that's not me, y'all. I'm just, you know, and one of the dads over where we were at, he's got his nice big camera, and he walks around the back of the house, and it's overlooking some of the rolling hills and these fences, and he's like, hey, we need to go around back here so that we can get the light just right with these pictures. And it just happened that it was all the soccer, a group of the boys that Zeke was with, they're all soccer players, and they all gave me this look like, Coach, what is he doing? I'm like, just go, just go. And he gets the kids and he's like, no, you need to turn the light shining off of your face just right. And I'm like, wow. But I also thought, you know, that for some of these kids and some of these parents, that moment in time defines who they are. That one moment in time is what they see themselves out because, you know what? That's what they get to portray for all of Facebook world to see. But what they don't know is that my kids look the best anyway, so it doesn't matter. I'm kidding. But that's the thing. And so I want us to kind of think about something as we start through this, because we're going to take the whole month of October and we're going to just dive into this concept, this thought of identity. Because you know what? The Bible says an awful lot about our identity and who I am in Christ. But what we've done is we've taken this Facebook world, we've taken this world thought, and that's what we have put into our minds, and that's what we've allowed to shape who we believe that God is and how we think that God is looking at us. But it's not. It's something completely different. So this morning, we're going to start off and we're going to take a look at what I'm calling our image. Our image. But before we can do this, I want to give us a good working definition that we're going to use for the entire month on identity and what it is. Identity is this: the distinguishing character or personality of an individual. The distinguishing character or personality of an individual. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to bring a few documents in because I don't even have it on me. It's in my backpack. But most of us, when we're of age, we get what? A driver's license, all right? I know this because I've got a 15-year-old that is bugging me and reminding me every time, Dad, it's not too long till I get my license. And I'm like, we'll see about that, kid. But on that, what does it do? It gives us a number. It gives us a picture. And we are identified by that license, right? Some of us at work, the places we work, we have a work ID. And on that ID, we are identified. We're all given, when we're born, what? A birth certificate. And what's on that birth certificate? Our name and also a number. And then Uncle Sam wants their piece of us as well, so they give us what? A Social Security card. And it's a what? A number. You see, we've got these different things. And it's all a number, it's a picture, it's some tangible card, and that becomes, to a lot of us, who we are. Or to somebody else, that becomes who we are. And so over time, we begin to think, well, I'm just another number, I'm just another name, I'm just another this or another that. But I want us to understand that there is so much more to our identity, because God has created us in a very specific way that gives us a very distinct character, our personality of who we are. But at the same token, I don't want us to mistake it for, well, I'm just who I am in whatever I want to do, whatever I want to say, however I feel like being. That's just how it is. Because then that's the world view of things versus what God's view is. And here in a second, this is going to really, it'll come together and it'll make sense. If you got a Bible with you this morning, I want you to turn over to Genesis chapter 1. And this morning we're going to start here, because how many of you know the very first verse in the Bible? Anybody know that one? Yeah. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's how his word begins. The entirety of the Bible begins with that very thing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And out of that, we see all throughout the remainder of chapter 1, the things and the what we know as the world. When we walk outside, the trees, the grass, the skies, the animals, everything God created. Because why? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But what we sometimes fail to understand, we may know it in our minds somewhat, but if you go down there to chapter 1 to verse 26, I want us to listen carefully what it says. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. So God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth." God also said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth, and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This food will be for you. For all the wildlife of the earth, for every bird of the sky, and for every creature that crawls on the earth, everything having the breath of life in it, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so." God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Evening came, and then morning, the sixth day. There's a few things I want us to understand about this passage. Right up until here, God has just finished the first 5 days of creation. And in verse 26, after that, he said, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." So after he's created everything else, he looks around and he says, "Let us now make man in our image and in our likeness." This is a very significant thing to what we're talking about, because what this tells us is that we are made in God's image. We are made in God's image. Image is this: exact likeness or semblance. A person strikingly like another person. I was looking through some of the pictures that Rachel had posted of Carlin from last night. And there's one comment, because, you know, we have to read all the comments to see if somebody says something good so we can feel better about ourselves. And if somebody posts and says something negative about it, so we get really mad and say something back, right? So I'm looking through these comments, and somebody that I think Rachel went to high school with commented and said, "She looks just like her mom." So when you take a look at my daughter, there is a likeness or a semblance to her mother. So there's not a question of who Carlin belongs to there, right? So here's the thing about it. When we say that we are made in God's image, and we look at this definition of exact likeness or semblance, a person strikingly like another person, you know what this tells me? I have been created, me, what you see right here, has been created in the image of the creator of the universe. Wow. And it says this: let us create man in our image and in our likeness. Not just physical characteristic of an image, but in our likeness. So the things that I am carrying, the characteristics that are within me, are just like God. It's just like how He wanted me created. In His exact likeness or semblance. Not only that, I think it's important for us to know, it says in verse 26, our likeness, and in our image. That phrase right there is a plural form. That phrase right there tells us that we are made not only in the likeness of God, but in the likeness of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So for anybody that tells you that, well, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they weren't in the Old Testament, take them right back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Because the Godhead, three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are three in one, that eternal Godhead, they were there at the very beginning in the foundations of the earth. And so we are in the likeness of that. Now, when we understand more as we go along and we see what it is that Jesus himself performed while he was walking on earth, we understand what the Holy Spirit has done and what he has done when he was given to us, it opens up so much more to us when we go right back to the beginning and know that we are created in that likeness. Wow. Whew. So what does that mean? That means, you know what? I can walk up when Victor's having a pain and a hard time, and I can walk up with all confidence knowing that whatever Victor has a need for, I can lay my hands, I can pray, and I can see anything happen because I'm in the likeness of my dad, and whatever I ask in his name, it will be given because that's what the Bible says. But see, if I don't think that I'm worth anything and that I have anything in me and that I don't reflect what my dad is, then I'm not even going to want to walk towards that and touch that. Verse 27, very, very significant thing as well here. Not only are we made in our image according to our likeness, according to his, but in verse 27 it says, so God created man in his own image. See, he knows right even from the get-go that we're kind of hard-headed and we don't get it, right? So not only does he say, listen, we're going to create him in our likeness and in our image, but then he tells us again, so God did it. He didn't just say it, he did it. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. And I want us to understand this. He created them both male and female. So, any of us in here that want to think that females are lesser than, right here throws a hole right into that because God created male and female. That whole relationship, and we can go right through some of this, but here's a quick little lesson on that. This is where the male and female relationship isn't the male's up here and the female's down here. But instead, it's the males here, the females here, and they're back to back, and they're fighting with each other, not against each other. So when you see Rachel and I, it's not that she is way underneath me, but instead we're partners together because God created us both male and female to stand together to fight all the hell and what this world brings at us. Not to bring that into our household and create it ourselves. That wasn't even in my notes. That's free, Vic. You like that, don't you, Scott? Yeah, all right. But see, when we understand who we are, when we understand what our image is and that we're in the likeness of, not only for me as a man, for me as a husband, for me as a pastor, but it's also good for me to know that about my wife, to know that about females and how God's created them, because then I don't look at them the same as the world does. I look with a total different eyes. You see, what we're doing this morning is we're changing our worldview, we're changing our perspective, and we've got to look at everything that we do through what I call the God lens. All right? So if I took off my glasses because I had the wrong one, I put my new prescription in it, all right, my world lens, and I changed the prescription, I put them back on with the God lens. Whoa. Dang, Vic, you look different. Man. That's the realities of it, though. We'll look here in the next couple of weeks that there's a passage that talks about us beholding ourselves in a mirror. And what is it that we really see? But that's probably 2 weeks away. Then verse 31, I think is so significant because so many times we look at ourselves and we're like, yeah, Rennie, I hear you and all this, but still, God, he just doesn't think much of me. Well, when we read through this whole passage, he keeps talking about how he's created us, and then what he's created us for. Verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. That's a whole nother lovely, fun message right there. I've done more baby dedications in my time in ministry than anything else. And I think it's because of that verse right there. All right. But then he also, God tells him, listen, I've given you all of this that I've created. Everything. The lands, the animals, to have dominion over them. I've given you all these things to be able to eat. And then look at verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and it was, okay. No. And it was very good. All that he had made, and it was very good. If he made us in his image, in his likeness, and he created us, and he says that it was good, then what is it that he thinks about us? That we're very good. Right from the very beginning, the foundations of the earth. And if we think that it was a surprise what happens further in Genesis, we are out of our minds and we've never read the Bible. He knew what was going to happen, and yet he still said, it is very good what I've created. So what does this mean? no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, no matter what decision you've ever walked down, he still believes to this day with the very core of who he is in his existence that what he has made in you is very good. And this isn't some self-help, motivational, feel-good speech. This is the truth of what the Word of God says. That we are very good. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The good thing is he wasn't just done with us right then and there. First Corinthians 15, and let's look at verse 46. Here it says, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man from the earth, the first man was made from the earth and made of dust. The second man is from heaven. Like the man made of dust, so are those who are made of dust. Like the heavenly man, so are those who are heavenly. And just as we have borne the image of the man made of dust, we will also bear the image of the heavenly man. So right here in 1 Corinthians, they're referring right back to what we just looked at in Genesis. And that there has to be a physical birth that takes place. So we've all been birthed physically, right? If we weren't, I don't know how we'd be standing here or sitting here, all right? And so we are just like Adam was, created, birthed physically. But then it says that we will also, in verse 49, and just as we have borne the image of the man made of dust, we must also bear the image of the heavenly man. That heavenly man, the one that was born of the Spirit, is talking about Jesus here. Think back to this. Jesus himself, and this is what makes it such an amazing story, that Jesus himself was what? Born in the natural, born of the Virgin Mary. All right, was that little baby that pooped and wet his pants and got hungry and, you know, just like us. I still have some kids they may not poop their pants and, you know, that, but they get hungry and they want stuff, right? But then there was that time when Jesus walks and he meets John the Baptist and he's baptized in the dove descends down upon him and he says what? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And there's something that happened at that moment. There was something significant that happened at that moment for him and for everyone else there. That there was something that shifted in the heavenlies. There was something that shifted among people. That's the same thing that shifts among us when we say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I understand that I'm a sinner and I need you to come into my life. There's a shifting that takes place. And it says that we will bear the image of the heavenly man. So that when that shift takes place, that we then become like Jesus. Wait. You mean to tell me that when I'm born physically, I'm born in the image of God the Father, the creator of the universe, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but then once I make Jesus Lord of my life, then I begin to bear the image of the heavenly man? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying because that's what the Bible says. You know, I just, even thinking about that, rereading that and talking about that, it's like I would just want to rip open my shirt and see the big S on my chest. Because that's what it feels like. It's like, wait. If he's given all authority in heaven to us, then what can we do here on earth? Yeah, I could bust open my Superman shirt then. Because that's what it feels like. We can walk into any situation, whatever comes our way, and we know that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Because when God is for us, who can be against us? And if we are in the image and we bear the image of the heavenly man, that's what I've got. So it's important for us to know that we bear the image of God. I don't know about y'all, but I'm really enjoying this. I'm enjoying myself hearing about myself this way. And it even just exudes a confidence, knowing that this is what God's saying about me. He's not saying all the other stuff that maybe you've heard for about how you got to do more and you're not worth it unless you do this, this, and this. No, because he created me in his image, because he has walked on this earth and did what he did, I can bear that. That's all because of what he did, not because of me. That's something I want to sign up for. Give me that t-shirt. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. And I referenced this a little bit this morning, a portion of this. But in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 28, you know, right before this, the writer here is talking about how the Holy Spirit will just, he's really dying to hear from us, dying to allow us to let him in, because it says that he's groaning and he makes groanings for us and he's praying for us. And that how he searches the hearts. But in verse 28 it says this, it says, "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." And so what do I get from this? Look in verse 49. Or I'm sorry, not 49, 29. I wrote it down wrong. "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." So what does that mean? It means that we, because he knew us before we were even in our mother's womb, the Bible says. He knows every hair on our head. It says that we are conformed to the image of Jesus. Now, if you're like me, there's certain words, and I'm like, well, what on earth does that really mean? And conformed is one of those. So here's what conform means: to be similar or identical, to act in accordance with prevailing standards or customs. That sounds an awful lot like image, doesn't it? It's to be similar or identical. We are being conformed into the likeness of Jesus. Why? Because we are made in the image, right? Image and likeness, so that when we accept him, he is conforming us to be just like Jesus. Sounds like a quote that we use every Sunday, doesn't it? Huh. I might use that one again. I don't know. What do you think, Eb? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? All right. So the hope of glory living in us allows us to walk, talk, and act like Jesus. So not only are we made in the image and the likeness of the creator of the universe, but we can also walk, talk, and act like the one who walked on this earth and was both God and man on this earth and performed all kinds of miracles. We're conformed to be like him. Man, this is sounding really, really good to me. If you haven't signed up for this, I want you to be really considering signing up for this. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Starting in verse 4. When the Messiah who is in your life is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your worldly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath comes on the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them, but now you must also put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. In Christ there is no Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, but barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. Look there at verse 10. You have put on your new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. Wait, that sounds awful familiar to what we started with, right? And this is towards the end of the Bible, okay? But it still holds true to the very beginning. And so it's important for us to know and to realize that we are being renewed to the image of God. We're being renewed to the image of God. What this tells me is this gives me so much hope, so much excitement, because it doesn't mean that today, with what I know about God, with what I have, the understanding I have about him, is all that I'm ever going to know about him. But that I am going to continually be changed to be more like him. So maybe you're thinking, you know what, I get what you're saying, but I'm just not there yet. Well, then great, you're in a perfect spot. Because I don't know who is there yet. There isn't an individual. That's why we are being renewed. So that when we're saved, we allow God to change our lives and we put away all the old things and we're being renewed into the image of God. Do you know that Jesus himself, it says when he was here that he grew in knowledge and stature. He grew in knowledge and stature. So he grew as he was a young boy. He began to grow to understand more and more about who the Father was, how to hear from the Father, and to do the things that the Father said. Why? Because he said what? I do nothing that the Father doesn't tell me. How do our kids learn what they're supposed to do? We have to teach them. If we are made in God's image, we're made in his likeness, we are being conformed into who he is, and we are being renewed into the image of him, then that means that we have to listen to what he says and learn what he does. You see, God's a good God in the fact that he doesn't just create us and then just, oh, go figure it out. I was having a discussion with somebody earlier this week because I struggled. I walked through this week in a major way. And I had these times where I was sitting in, because of things that people had said and the way that certain things have operated, I began to think that I was less than, that I wasn't doing any good, and that I just wasn't worth anything whatsoever. But then I began to look at this and I understood a little bit more about, you know, all these things may be coming, but when I hone in and I allow God to really change me and I begin to look at what he has to say, then I understand that that may come, but I've got to be constantly renewed. I've got to constantly have this reshifting take place. I've got to constantly recalibrate things to where I push all that other stuff out and I begin to look and see who God says that I am, because I'm not these people's kids. I'm not these people aren't the ones who created me. These aren't the people who mold me, but God is the one who created me in his image, in his likeness, to be conformed like him, to be made and renewed into his image. So I got to throw all that other stuff out. And is it hard? Yeah. It can get hard sometimes. But that's why it's important to come right back to what the Word says and see what it says. That's why no matter if we've been saved for 2 seconds or 2 decades, we have to allow the Word of God to renew us, as the Scripture says. That's why it's important for us to take that passage in Genesis 1:27. And we'll end on this. Back here on Genesis 1:27. And to get this into our hearts to understand. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. We need to get that deep-seated in us. Allow it to dwell in our hearts richly so that we will begin to not only know that in our hearts, but we begin to understand what that means, we begin to believe that, and we begin to walk that out. Because I can tell you, after looking at it all and watching these things on Facebook over the last 12 hours, that's the image that people are looking for. We see it in our jobs, we see it in the media, we see it all over the place. And I'm not saying that what the kids did last night, getting dressed up and all that, is a bad thing. All right? I let my kids do it. But if that's the only way that my kids ever see themselves, then yeah, I've messed up as a dad. Because God shows me so much more each and every day. Guys, just look outside and he shows us how much he loves us. And the Bible says this, if I take care and I love the grass of the fields and the birds of the air that much, how much more will your heavenly Father do for you? So what does our image look like this morning? What is that image? My prayer this morning is that maybe as you walked in here, you maybe had a different picture of who you were, but as you leave here, that picture has been shifted and changed because of the image that we truly are according to the Word of God. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never made that commitment to him because you haven't felt like, A, you needed it. I meet so many people that don't feel like they need it. Or two, maybe you just felt that you weren't worth it, and that you've done way too much. This morning, I want you to know that the Bible says this, that today is the day of salvation, and that he's desiring, he's created you in his image to be able to have you in relationship with him. And today is that day. He loves you that much. He desires to be in relationship with you that much, that he's gone to the ends of the earth and died on the cross for you. Can you stand with us? I don't want to be a liar this morning, so I'm going to ask Rachel if she'll come, and we're going to sing PK's favorite song, all right? We're going to sing Reckless Love, all right? And although we don't have the kids in here that were singing as loud as they could at the top of their lungs, man, I want you to sing this song. If you know it, I want you to belt this thing out. I want you to act like you're in your car and there's nobody else around, all right? Act like me as I'm driving down the interstate and people are looking at me like I'm a fool because I'm just screaming this at the top of my lungs. Because as we begin to allow the Word of God to permeate in and we speak it out, then we begin to believe in the deep-seated core of who we are, exactly what God thinks about us. And he is so deeply, madly in love with you, and he doesn't want to see you waste your life away, but more importantly, he doesn't want to see you spend an eternity in hell. Right. And unless we commit our lives to him, that's where we'll end up. Today, would you give your life to Jesus? Maybe for the first time, or maybe you've done that before, but you've just gotten so far off. Would you allow him back into your life today? Because he desires it that much. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing this song. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you, Lord, that your word shows us exactly what you think of us. I thank you that we have been made in your image and in your likeness, that we are being renewed and conformed to be more like you. Lord, I ask this morning that for me, that you would make me more like you, Jesus, that I would understand a little bit more today just how much you love and adore me. And Lord, I release your people to just be able to respond how you would have them to respond today. Lord, we just thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing, and if you've got a need, come on up.
Real quick, before we sing, I wanted to share a picture I got when Rennie was talking. He was talking about being conformed to the image of this world, and I thought back to that verse I read earlier about us being God's masterpiece. And I don't know if you've ever seen the painting of, like, Starry Night, Vincent van Gogh, Starry Night, and it's a beautiful painting. But let's just say it was hanging somewhere, and we let anybody who wanted to just go take a paintbrush and add to it and take a little spot and, oh, I'm going to change this spot over here. I'm going to change this spot over here. And this masterpiece eventually that Vincent van Gogh made looks completely different than what it's supposed to look like. And I just got that image of us as masterpieces. And God made us, and we are so precious in his sight. And we have let people just come and just say, oh, you need to do this. This is how you need to look. Let me just take my little paintbrush and paint this on you. Let me just do this. And of course, it's not a physical paintbrush, but just the words that they say that we believe, that we're not good enough, that we're ugly, that we're stupid, that we're dumb. Maybe if it's even words that have built us up so much that we think we don't need God. But I just thought, we've gotten to the point sometimes that we have almost become deformed in what we were supposed to be. And so that hit me really hard. And I just had to take a couple moments and just say, God, I'm sorry for letting other people have more say than you and have more say in this masterpiece, because I am one too, that he created than what he. You know, I just don't want anybody to ever have a better, higher word than what God's word is. So if you are in that same position I was in this morning, I just encourage you to take that couple of minutes and just say, God, forgive me for putting other people's thoughts and other people's words higher than your thoughts and their words about me. Sorry, I just wanted to share that real quick. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't.
This morning for us is that we would understand just a little bit more, not just that reckless love, but that the heights, the depths, the width of that love and how far he's gone for you. If we can get a little bit more of a glimpse of that, I believe our lives would forever be changed. Guys, please don't forget that memory verse, Genesis 1:27. Make that a point. You know, set a reminder on your phone. It's not that long of a verse, but it's so rich in what it is. And then come say it, all right? Come say it, because when we begin to talk to each other about that, then it holds it within. And you never know what else that the Lord's going to open up out of talking about that verse. Also, today at 2 o'clock, we're going to take a walk through the new building that we're in the process of doing all kinds of paperwork for. So please pray for me that I get all of that taken care of timely and all. I promise you I will, but still, I can use that. It's exciting times, and we want to be able to share that with you. We'll meet over there at 2 o'clock, which also means that after we get done with lunch here in a few, we'll need help cleaning everything up, and we no longer have to load the trailer. It all actually stays right here on the stage. We've got them to do that. I joked with John last week. I said, just as I ask that and we get a spot here, something's going to come through on the building, and it wasn't 2 days later that it did. So, you know, but that's a great thing. We're excited about that, and we want you guys all to be a part of this and to be able to see what it is that we've seen. Please do not forget your kids, all right? The children's workers will be very appreciative of that. And as always, remember this, that God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. Have a great week, guys.